Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, January 24th, 2018 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atera Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the recording secretary. I'd like to begin with a few general information items. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant and or owner should also submit their declaration and posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak, and the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public, and at the end of the item, may either close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate an inclination to either grant with conditions, deny, or continue the item. There are a few items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. If you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Otherwise, these items will be granted. There is general public comment for items that are not on the agenda today at the end of the hearing, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak at general public comment at the end of the hearing. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheet on the far wall. That's very important because it is the decision letter itself which carries the appealability. It can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. We do encourage parties to meet and to discuss these cases. We ask that that be done outside of the hearing so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, February 28th, 2018, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link to the hearing agenda. Now we can move on. We have at least one continuance item we will do first. And that is item number nine.
So item number nine, case number 2016-015279VAR, 722 39th Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
And we received this request yesterday from the project sponsor because they would not be available today. The property owner would not be available today with a request that this be continued to March 28th, 2018, our March hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak on the continuance of item number nine for 722 39th Avenue? Seeing no public comment on the continuance, this item is continued to the March 28th, 2018 variance hearing. The March variance hearing, we can move on to our consent items.
There are five items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2014-003157VAR, 1598 Bay Street, street frontage variance sought. Item number two, case number 2016-007597VAR, 1310 Pacific Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Item number three, case number 2016-007210VAR, 500 Bartlett Street, open space variance sought. Item number four, case number 2017-001956VAR, 3715 California Street, exposure variance sought. And the last item in our consent calendar, item number five, case 2017-010477VAR, 2205 Taylor Street, exposure variance sought.
Is there anyone that would like to speak on any of the aforementioned items? I would like to reiterate the purpose of the consent calendar since we've long employed this, but we had some confusion at the last hearing. If there is no request for public comment on any of the five items that were just read into the record, those five items would all be granted on consent. And again, that is item number one for 1598 Bay Street, item number two for 1310 Pacific Avenue, item three for 500 Bartlett Street, item four for 3715 California Street, and item five for 2205 Taylor Street. So if there is no public comment for that, I'm asking again, is there any public comment? And seeing no public comment, those five items are granted on consent. We can move on to our regular calendar. I understand we have a few requests to reschedule or to
move forward item number 13.
And it's my understanding it is due to kind of medical care issue.
So if the public would not mind, we're moving after item number 13 right after number 8, which is to summer. Okay, so we'll start with item number 6. This is case number 2017-001220VAR, 253 Chattanooga Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic.
And this is the second hearing on this item. We did hear this last month because some noticing glitch. We re-noticed and have a hearing today. So thank
Correct.
You for coming back.
Sure. So the existing residence does not provide for parking. So the proposed design provides parking in a new standalone garage in the rear yard accessed from Mercy Street, which is a mid-block alley. In lieu of a garage located at the front of the house, the garage is located in the rear yard in order to preserve the existing front facade facing Chattanooga Street. 25% rear yard is maintained. This is an approach that was strongly encouraged by Moses Corrett and Heidi Klein at the planning information counter prior to submitting the site permit. So in other words, planners asked us to locate the garage in the rear yard, and that's where we located it. Inserting parking at the front of the residence, access from Chattanooga Street, would require the house to be lifted for a garage door and the front facade to be modified by increasing the height of the front stoop. Street parking for the neighborhood will be preserved by avoiding a new curb at Chattanooga Street. Parking space in the garage is provided for one car and five bikes, storage, and a workshop. We believe that the proposed garage is consistent with the block pattern along Mercy Street, as most of the lots have structures along Mercy, either resulting from deep structures from fronting Chattanooga Street or Dolores Street, or standalone structures, some of which have garages in them and are between 2 and 4 stories tall.
So we're the owners. We would like to add a garage to our property. There used to actually be a garage in that space. It's visible on the Sanborn insurance maps until about 1990. It was torn down probably without a permit because we can't find one. Most other properties bordering Mercer Street also have a garage facing Mercer Street. And we discussed this, as was said, with several planners who noted a garage on Mercer Street would be preferred. We have one car. These are our bikes. We have an electric bike, which requires an electric outlet and protection from the elements. I would like to have a boat shop. We have a bunch of camping gear, which you can see. This is our car, wonderful, nice little car. It fits into a garage for one car. It's great. Can you go on? camping gear, you know, storage is something we need. There's more. There's unfortunately more. There's actually one more, I think. Yeah, there you go. So this is what we hope to use the garage for. Thank you.
Thank you. So where's the vehicle and the storage currently? The photos show the parked vehicle and...
We live in a different place.
Okay, so that's at
your... Yeah, so this is our current place on 3027th Street, where we share a garage with our upstairs neighbors. Okay. And this is our current garage.
Okay. And then the proposal is a garage. There's a bathroom as well. As you stated, it would be a workshop. There's no roof deck proposed as part of this project.
And it would require, as far as I understand, it would require a separate permit for a roof deck, right?
Would require a permit and,
yeah. And
notice.
I don't know why we would... Like, we're not planning on putting a roof deck on there, so.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 6 for 253 Chattanooga Street.
Please approach the mic, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Chris Farino, and I'm here to oppose the project. I have gotten advice. I've met with the owner, one of the owners, and I did meet with the city planner. I had legal advice. I had advice from my architect. And the first thing I would like to say is I don't think they're going to meet all 5 criteria that you stated, and I can elaborate on that later. But I would just say that I've never seen any garage. I've been in that area since 81 on that property. So whatever was pointed out here, I'd like to see the verification of that. But there was never a garage unless you have permits to show that they were torn down or built. What we have here is already a dense alley corridor, and we feel that the open space that we enjoy from my apartment, I own 3 properties right at the end of that alley, and my tenants have a good view of the of the backyard, the existing backyard. And of course, I'm wishing the best for these applicants to build a beautiful house. I did speak to him about his workspace downstairs, and I did speak to my architect. She said certainly he has a 5-bedroom, 5-bath house. Maybe there's a way he could get a workshop in the original house. And since there's only a 1-car garage, I don't see the necessity for that big a structure, if there's going to be any structure. I would like to preserve it as open space so that my tenants can enjoy what they've been enjoying before, an open feeling, not a closed-in feeling. And they do have a space, so a parking pad now for 2 cars, but that's up to them what they want to use it for. But I think we should retain the open space for the neighbors in general, and not set a precedent that a possible residential use could take place in that the other side of their proposed garage. That has to be a guarantee for me, because I just don't understand why we would have the potential set a precedent for potential residential space, whether they're going to use it for that or a new owner would use it for that. And the noise that would emanate from there and the pedestrian access down Mercy Lane, those are all things that concern me. And like he said, he might have to get a permit for a deck. Or you said that, you don't propose a deck, but people have been putting decks on there. That may be considered a precedent. That would, again, spoil the quiet enjoyment of my tenants and their outlook.
Thank you. So, as I understand, you own the building that is kind of at the dead end of Mercy, that
1040 Dolores, that's a 21 unit, but then I own one right directly behind them that has a parking lot. A parking area behind there, and the structure is set back from Mercy Lane. But it has my tenants have a deck that would look directly down at the new proposed structure that they have, which they propose at 11 feet. And I don't know why it has to be that tall, but you know, the owner did offer right away when I talked about it, the height. He said I'd be willing to move it down a foot. So he did make some concession, and I said, well, I'm hoping that it doesn't get built, period. But if they need a one-car garage, that's up to to comply with your other mandate of keeping the open space.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment on this item number 6 for 253 Chattanooga Street?
You also get 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. I am also a co-owner of 1050 Dolores Street. I've also lived in both the units that would be looking at the new garage in 2003. I lived in D, which is the lower unit with the deck. That kind of faces, if you're on your deck, you kind of look directly at that property, 253, the back of it. And I had also lived in 1050 Dolores Apartment C in 2005, I believe. I had living room windows that looked down onto that property as well. And I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed having that open feeling. And I think anyone who would rent there now or you know, possibly buy in the future, could have to look at a garage instead of a nice open field, or maybe a landscaped garden, you know, which I think would be better served. It's very, very dense back there. We have constant traffic of people walking through the alley that we have to stop going through our property as it is. And I think seeing another walkway into and out of a garden is just kind of exposing it to more use. The Airbnb is a big problem in the alley. There's a couple of people that rent their improved spaces, and people looking for the address, I don't know what address it is, but it's up the hill a little bit, with their luggage in hand, and you know, we just really don't want that. It's, you know, kind of obnoxious, especially late at night with suitcases coming down the alley looking for Airbnb location. So that's kind of, I'm opposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a question on relationship. What's the distance between where the garage is proposed and where you described kind of unit C and D in the building?
You know, I don't know the exact, I'm not sure the exact distance.
And then,
but it's definitely in your visual sight, yeah.
And then separated by the street.
Yes, yeah. And we do have a driveway there.
And your the back of your
yes,
property.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then at what level is the unit? Is it at grade level? So it's at the same level as the garage, or is it?
It's at that particular, the lower unit is maybe a foot or two above I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. But we look a little bit, it's almost to the same level.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess,
right.
Yeah.
Thank
the
you.
Garage might be a little bit lower because it's a hill, you know, it's the bottom of a hill there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
And is there any more public comment on item number 6 for 253 Chattanooga Street?
Lee Bender, I'm a neighbor, and I'm not opposed to their building an attractive little building on the back of that lot. Even though it's open space now, it's not all that attractive. And yes, the parking that's there now would suffice. It's two-car parking. My concerns are these. I met with the owner, and I was totally convinced of their sincerity. And I don't believe that they have any intention of putting residential space in there. However, it was pointed out to me by some of the other neighbors that the next person could do God knows what. And the reason why that is prospectively potentially a problem is because of the proposed height, the 11-foot height, and 200 square feet that's not being used for parking, but most of all for the, I think it's three windows that are around. If it's not residential property, I think it doesn't need the windows. And if the owner agreed to reduce the height by a foot, I think that's great, because there's not currently anything on that alley that I'm aware of that's over two stories. And the alley is a mess. I said this before, it's a horror, a nightmare, but that doesn't mean that we should of course, penalize these individual people just because the whole alley is a mess. My final concern is for the tenants of my neighbors. They have 21 tenants who are undeniably affected, and I can't say as a neighbor who's not personally affected that I don't care about their concerns, because I do. And so for me, if the windows are removed and they have something nice and attractive and it's not too tall, it might be okay. That's kind of my thought about it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment on item 6 for 253 Chattanooga Street? Seeing no further public comment, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, and maybe as part of that, if you have in your kind of your information there, the relationship between this property and with the neighbors' kind of comments and concerns, as well as some detail of the height of the structure, would be helpful.
Sure. All right. So we met with both Ms. Spender and Mr. Ferenew, about the concern. We left when we met with Ms. Spender. We left with the impression that her concerns had been alleviated. She also confirmed this to us in writing or to our planner. So, her comments were mainly about the height. I would like to note that the height of the garage is lower than the fence that is next to it, as well as the structure that is next to it. So, you can see it in the picture if you want to, or in the plans as well. Ms. Cohen also told Sue, my wife, on the phone that she did not have a problem with our plans. That's just her father. Again, I'm a little bit surprised she chose to show up. Regarding the history, Mr. Frenia has, like, in the last meeting, unfortunately, we missed each other, right? Somewhat misrepresented the communication in the last meeting, and before the last meeting, we tried repeatedly to reach him and did not return several calls. He misrepresented this, stating my wife did not call him, when in fact she did the same day and a few days later with no response. I called him from a new number, and then we agreed to meet, and we met for 1.5 hours before the new year. He said then that he would prefer a parking pad, I guess he still does. He noted he would reach back out in the new year, but has not. He communicated to our planner that he would prefer us to have a two-car garage. He has refused to talk to us directly or not talk to us directly since. So I don't really know what to do about his concerns, unfortunately. In any case, his main concerns appear to be irrelevant to this variance. We have a child in public school 3 blocks away. We want to build a house that works for our family long term. We do need storage and the garage. We have a neighbor currently who has storage above the garage, which is in the ceiling above the car, which works very well. We thought that would be a great use of our ceilings or of the height. We do also, by the way, we do not have a five-bedroom, five-bath house. That's not correct. We definitely do not intend to become landlords. We've went through quite some trouble to not be landlords. And in any case, any of these concerns, such as, you know, the fact that it could be turned into an ADU or there could be a deck on top, it requires separate permits. So I would think that it would be, irrelevant to this particular process. Mr. Ferrini seems a little bit unwilling to consider our perspective here. Like he, when I met with him, he suggested we store our bikes in the backyard, in the open. At the time, he suggested a parking pad and possibly a shed. It really doesn't solve the problems that we're having. So I don't quite see how I can address, in particular, his concerns. He hasn't really brought any objections that I feel are relevant to this case.
So I think that was actually going to be.
That's probably
time,
okay.
But if you could just finish up that last thought, and then I do have a question for your architect.
We tried very hard to be good neighbors. We went to discussion with Mr. Ferrini with the same good intent, belief that he was relative in neighborly fashion. he had an issue with rocks falling down. We fixed it by adding a retaining wall. We worked with the city to get the street paved, which they have agreed to do now. And we thought he would be doing the same, but this hasn't been the case.
Thank you. So a question for your architect. Ed, there is a slight lateral slope on the lot. What is the maximum and minimum height of the highest and lowest points of that garage structure? It's not called out.
I would have to double check which side. We have 11 feet indicated.
Is it 11 on the top, on the highest side?
At the top of the parapet. So that accounts for a foot of parapet, a foot of roof structure, and then an interior ceiling height of nine feet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. So with that, we will close the public comment. At the previous hearing, I did grant the variance. I'm of similar mindset here as well. I appreciate the additional comment that we have received from the public. Do you have a question? The public comment is over. You know, I do see the photos here, and I appreciate those additional comments. We'll take the matter under advisement. I would like some verification as to the height of the structure itself, the highest and lowest points. You know, I'm supportive of the variance for, again, for having a garage structure at the rear. I do think it's compatible with the neighborhood. I do see the five findings have been met. Would like to just get a little bit more information about the height and as it relates to those adjacent elements. I have no issue with the windows. I think it's actually kind of a let there be light. I mean, I don't see any reason to not have light into the structure. But you know, maybe there's some tuning of the height. And I think the neighborhood notification has not yet been performed as well, which would always give the ability to have a discretionary review filed on the project. But I'm inclined to grant. We'll get a little additional information on the height of the structure and issue a final decision, and we can move on.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-004541 VAR, 4135 California Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
I'm Warner Schmalz, architect for the project sponsor. The project is a 7-unit new building, family-oriented building, with on a very unique lot. The lot is bound on three sides by streets, and when you look at the floor plan, or the site plan of the whole block, every other property on that block has no rear yard. There's four adjacent neighbors, and because we're on the end of the block, we have exposure on three sides. So we designed a building with an inner courtyard, worked strongly with planning department to put parking for this building underground in an attempt to create even more open space. We have open space in an inner courtyard that's about 21 feet wide and is about 21% of an equivalent rear yard in area. We think there's no damage to the neighborhood. We think that if you look at the other surrounding buildings, they're all very modest in character. We are 40 foot high. We're totally code complying in that regard. We do have a courtyard setback, a light court adjacent to our neighbor who has an inner courtyard with windows, and we are respecting their privacy by responding to that character. We think the building is a very, very appropriate and fine addition to the neighborhood. We have strong neighborhood support, and I think the building design, looking from California Street or from Cornwall Street, is really divided into two portions so that the scale of the buildings in the neighborhood is very, very appropriate, and we think it's a fine addition to the neighborhood. Having said that, because the other property owners have no rear yard. We feel we're being very generous in dividing this building into a very well-scaled building, which I think will match in scale the opposite building on 4th Avenue, which has quite striking architectural character. So with that, I think that's complete my presentation.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 7 for 4135 California Street? If you could please step forward. Thank you.
Please approach the mic. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, how are you? My name is Chris Mercaldi. I'm the president of the HOA of 300 Cornwall Street, which is immediately across across 4th Avenue. And just wanted to say that we agree fully. We think it's a beautiful project, an appropriate and fine addition to the neighborhood, and agree with the scale of the buildings. The only item I wanted to mention is I've been in touch with Christopher May in the planning department, and also with the architects and the sponsors. They're very responsive, just on the ultimate height of the building. Is 40 feet zoned, but off of 4th Avenue, because of the slope of the lot, it's really 43 feet. And then there are some additional structures on the roof, which we've made a request, which we hope is reasonable to minimize or internalize some of the structure on the roof. And I've everyone's been very helpful and good communication. And but I wanted to note that here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Any other public comment?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, thank you. I live off opposite this proposed development, and I would like to say that I'm speaking with no animosity of any kind against the current owners. They have been wonderful neighbors, kind, considerate, everything else. But I have concerns about this building, and my first concern was I wanted to know if any kind of environmental impact study was done for this, because you're digging up a garage which has done significant work there on that corner. Secondly, where will the building traffic exit? Because the number 28 has been rerouted, the number 28 bus has been routed, and now it comes down Cornwall and it turns onto 4th Avenue. It's a very small space on 4th Avenue where it turns. You could park approximately 4 cars on that corner. So there's now four buses on the opposite corner to where this development is. There's the number 1, the BX, the number 2, and now the number 28. Okay, coming all, passing on that corner. Okay, so I think already it's a dangerous corner. I was almost hit there one morning recently because they come off there so fast. So that's my second concern. I also want to say, in terms of the environmental impact, that we have a daycare center in one of the homes opposite there, and I really would like to see an environmental study to suggest what might happen there. Okay, my third thing is the gentleman pointed out the building that's on the other corner. It does not match the neighborhood, and it never did. It's the largest building there. This is one of the last two open corners on California Street. The next one is up at Arguello. There's a garage up there, so there's some open space around the garage. I've been told that one of the rationalizations for doing away with all these garages is because the cars are now going to be obsolete. So I would like to ask the planning department, when you give permission for what was a former garage to be reconstructed in this way, why aren't we asking them to put in some electrical charging stations, if that's what it was? So again, I emphasize they've been fabulous neighbors, these people. You couldn't wish for better. But I really think there's a lot of problems with this development and the possible exiting of more cars on that corner. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item number 7 for 4135 California Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
First off, to the lady who just spoke, the car exit will be off of Cornwall at the farthest corner from 4th Avenue. So I think that is the best location we could possibly have to make sure that there's no traffic issues, especially on California Street. We also know that the city has a requirement for new bus service along California Street, and to that extent, we have been encouraged, and we did, bulb out the sidewalk so it's even wider, so that we can have a bus shelter, and that was prescribed by the planning department and is incorporated in our design. I think also, when you talk about the scale of the building and appropriateness of it, it doesn't show too well on this drawing, but we have at the base of the building on all three sides voluminous planters and open spaces and decks, and I think it's a very, very responsive building to the streetscape and will be a fine addition to the pedestrian quality of this important site. To the gentleman who talked about the roof deck, the roof deck is only, seeing these areas here, they're only stair access to private roof decks for three of the units. And they're minimized in terms of size. They are in the center of the building, so I think from all purposes here, because there's a 40-foot building and there's no other buildings higher, it will be nearly invisible from anybody at streetscape or in adjacent buildings. So I really don't think this is a major issue. It's, you know, we need access by stairs, and it just has to be done in that manner. Environmental question, we have an environmental exemption. It's gone through the normal vetting from the planning department. It is a gas station. It's been a gas station for a long time. The neighbors who own this, as I say, have tremendous rapport with their neighborhood. They're sorry, in a sense, to see the gas station go. But they think this is a fine improvement. So to that extent, we think this building will be a very good neighbor moving forward.
Thank you. Is this project being developed by the current owner of the
property? Yes, yes. The family has owned it for the business and the property for over 30 years.
Thank you. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. Just to respond to a couple other points that were raised in regards to the height of the building under the planning code. They actually have the ability to measure the height from any of the street frontages, and this is a pretty unique lot in that it does have three street frontages. So it is a challenging site, and I do think that the project sponsor has done a good job of responding to the challenges of that site, and encourage you to continue working with the neighbors as to the height of the structures on the roof and what could be minimized, if possible, to that extent. And I think the neighborhood notification is currently underway and will be completed and towards the end of February, is that correct? And reiterating that the environmental review has been completed, and if you would like, member of the public, if you'd like to get more information from that, I would contact the planner that's assigned to the project, Chris May. He'd be happy to share those documents with you. And kind of as someone who has an electric car, I completely agree that there should be more chargers everywhere. Hopefully it is the future. They are easy and kind of experienced to add to retrofit to even existing buildings. I mean, we have Civic Center Garage, which has electric charging available in there. They're quite easy to add. It's more of an electrical question rather than a physical question. Last year, I believe there had been some discussion about amendments to the building code that would mandate chargers. I don't know how that has proceeded, but certainly would hope that we do go along that direction of mandating chargers in the future, but don't see that as an appropriate condition for what is, in this case a rear yard variance. But I'm inclined to grant the variance, ask that the sponsor continue to work with the neighbors as to the roof structure, if there's a way to minimize, make sure we're minimizing any rooftop appurtenances. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2017-001506 VAR, 2 Sumner Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. I'm Harvey Hacker. I'm the project architect for 2 Sumner Street. I'd like to start by identifying on this photo, this is the subject property. This is Sumner Street here. The subject property and the two adjacent properties, both of which are on extremely substandard size lots, have the two adjacent properties have no rear yard, and the subject property has a rear yard that is an odd residue from construction that happened, I have no idea when in the past. I can find no permit record of it, but it looks like work that's been there for a long time, and it is work that shows up on the Sanborn map, leaves a rear yard that varies in depth from 1 foot to 4 feet. In this proposed development of a single family residence, we are requesting a variance to move the rear building wall to the rear property line and incorporate that existing minuscule rear yard into the usable space within the building. I'd like to review how I believe doing that meets the five criteria for a variance. Exceptional or extraordinary circumstances would be both the unusual 58-foot lot depth and what I just mentioned, past development of the property resulting in a shallow rear yard that, as near as I can figure, is unusable for any purpose. And that circumstance, in fact, defines the hardship, which is having a section of a very small property that cannot be used for anything. The variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right possessed by other property in the same class of district. And again, here I reiterate that other identical properties adjacent have no rear yards, and that's the case also for the warehouse building immediately to the north of the site. The question of whether the granting of variance would be material detrimental to the public welfare. The two main objectives of required rear yards is to provide outlook from the building, and in this case, the building presently has no outlook at the first floor and would continue to have no outlook. All of the spaces on the floors above are set back and do enjoy complete access to distant view. The other purpose of rear yard is to maintain a pattern of mid-block open space. In this situation, no such pattern exists. Finally, the effect on the planning code and the general plan, I don't see any way in which this is detrimental or contradictory. It's in harmony with the residence element of the general plan to encourage residential development. I should also point out that which slipped my earlier statement, the purpose of a rear yard is also to have usable open space and to compensate for not having any rear yard. There's extensive development of every upper level for usable open space.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 8 for 2 Sumner Street, item number 8, 2 Sumner. Seeing none, we close the public hearing. I think I'll take this item under advisement. I do have some concerns. It's a very small lot, and I can see many justifications for a variance. But do you know if there's any on the lot to the rear, which is currently looks like garage or parking and storage? Do you know if there's any development plans for that lot?
The lot to the rear is serving a nonprofit agency that rents the building, and I have not been aware of any plans for development.
Okay. I mean, certainly, you know, you pointed out this is a shallow lot. It's a very minor expansion. I, you know, generally see no harm in it, but it is bringing that deck at a, what I can see is a pretty substantial grade difference between the lot to the rear and the subject lot all the way to that rear property line. And we just want to kind of confirm that there are no pending development plans for that lot to the rear, because otherwise we'd be running into some potential privacy issues. So I just would want to look into that. I'm not saying that the variance would be denied, but I just would like to do discuss this a little bit further with staff.
I have a couple comments I can make on that. Regarding privacy, of course, this would have a zero effect, because what I'm proposing at the rear property line at that ground floor only to build a wall with no openings.
Right.
And furthermore, on the upper floors, we are maintaining the existing setback of walls with windows and the new added top floor setback further. So I've tried to give ample consideration to that concern.
But the deck is being expanded at that second level to go all the way to the rear property line?
That's correct.
But, I mean, that's the extent of the concern, and
yes.
I'd like to see if there's any pending development applications and whether or not this proposal could better harmonize if there are pending development applications for the lot at the rear. I'm assuming there are none, and if so, I would be comfortable granting the variance.
Okay. If concerns do come up, of course, I'm happy to come in and thrash out a adequate solution.
Yeah, but it could be a simple setback of the deck. I mean, but I'm not anticipating that being necessary now, but...
Or perhaps a 6-foot-high translucent glass wall that would completely shut off any visual contact. You know, there's always something you can do.
Okay. Right, thank you. We'll take this matter under advisement and move on to the next item. I think we were going
to
take...
We're jumping 13. To item number 13 because we have the same project sponsor. This is case number 2017-001873-VAR, 1320 California Street, exposure and open space variances sought. You have another 5 minutes.
Hello, I'm still Harvey Hacker. The situation here in the lot at 1320 California Street is we have an existing building that was built with 3 stories of 3 identical stories of each containing 2 small residential units, one facing California, one facing rearward. At some point, I've looked it up, I think it's in the 90s, the then owner of the building combined the 2 top floor small apartments into one owner's flat and added an elevator to the building. The proposed construction for the new owner is to do the following. 1, reconvert the top floor into 2 units that would be essentially identical to the remaining 4 units in the building, with the exception of some minor adjustments to accommodate the elevator that was installed. Additionally, to convert 2 basement storage spaces to ADU spaces. The reason all of this work requires variance approval, and I hope I'm getting it all, is one, the existing configuration does not provide code required exposure, and the existing configuration, both for the units that are there and the proposed changes, provides essentially zero usable open space. So here's why I think approving this variance will make sense. One, looking at the two proposed ADUs at the ground floor, if we add together the shallow existing rear yard plus the width of the existing alley, we add up to a space that exceeds the requirements for outlook. Second, if we add to the roof, which I'm going to propose with this diagram, this diagram shows the subject property in yellow, and the pink tint shows about half the roof developed as a common usable roof deck for all the units in the building. That would provide the required usable open space, not just for the work that we are proposing, but also for the four residential units that are just have been there from the beginning and lack this amenity. So I think, bottom line, the city would end up with an increase of three to the city stock of moderate size residential units, and the conditions of outlook and usable open space would be at least as good as they are for all of the units, and with respect to usable open space, infinitely approved for all of the units. And then, of course, in going through the project with the planner on the case, the other requirements, such as bicycle parking and so on, have been dealt with. So I'm very positive about how this thing looks as a whole and request approval for the variance.
Thank you. I concur about the arguments that you make regarding the exposure and kind of the benefits that are conferred by having Acorn to the rear. One of the concerns that I had and reason that this was not on consent was because of the splitting of the unit, the upper unit. And it's my understanding that unit is currently vacant.
Let me ask the building owner.
Mark,
yes, it is currently vacant.
Okay, and then are the other units vacant as well, or?
The rest of the building, I believe, is completely occupied.
And the?
Okay, two and two.
And the storage that is being removed does not belong to any of those units?
No, we're not decreasing the amenity to any of the units.
Great. And then the roof deck is not on the current plans. Is that a kind of more recent addition?
That was the result of some very recent head scratching.
Okay, great. And so we have not maybe received those plans, or at least I don't have them as part of this docket, but you will work with staff because there will be a notification requirement. We would also want to, you know, ensure there's an existing stair penthouse to the roof.
There's an existing stair penthouse to the roof. However, I will need to have a pre-application review with building and fire to make sure they will approve extending the existing rear fire escape up to the roof to provide a second exit, because they won't like a deck that big with just one exit. And obviously we want to make it a safe and complying situation. But I believe that should be feasible.
Okay. We'll see how that design develops. I mean, just so you're aware, as I'm sure you already are, that depending on the construction that may occur, it may trigger another variance for the rear yard that's not has not yet been sought, but not guaranteed to require that. There are ways of, you know, obviously that will require the notification, but if there is not a significant intensification, such as firewalls, then it may be eligible for review without a variance, but with just a 10-day notice. So you can work with our staff on that, and you know, we look forward to seeing how the building can be improved along those lines. So we'll see, actually, if there's any public comment for item 13, for 1320 California Street. Any public comment on item 13? Seeing none, I close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. Appreciate the additional information that you provided, and you know, look forward to having our staff work with you on adding additional open space to the building.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Thank you.
As mentioned earlier, item number 9 has been continued to March 28 variance hearing. So now we're going to item number 10. Case number 2017-008290 VAR, 1285 8th Avenue, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Gina Wyant. I'm the project sponsor for 1285 8th Ave, variance from exposure. This is an application for adding two dwelling units to an existing building that has currently has 8 units. As you can see, the units, the building's construction predated any kind of an exposure requirement, and the existing units in the rear yard will have the same exposure as the new units, which is pretty much my only argument. The windows that we are adding for the new units are much larger than what are the existing for the other units, and that's my case.
Okay. So we did have some concerns about the unit layout.
Sure.
Kind of creating rooms that looked like bedrooms but could not legally be bedrooms, and that's been revised, from my understanding, from staff.
I do have a cross-section.
There's some removal of closets from rooms that would not be legally be bedrooms. And
so what I have is the new bathroom here. This is the living room bedroom here for this new unit. And then the mezzanine unit, which is this one, is the existing bedroom is here, and then turning this into the living room.
Okay.
Kitchen area.
And it's my understanding that staff, I believe it was on this case, received some questions from the building manager, who may be here to speak. So I have you had communications with the...
I have not.
Okay.
Manager, but I live in
one of the apartments. Cool. Let's move on to public comment for this item.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nope.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I live in apartment number 8, which is right above the garage, where I believe they're talking about adding another unit, like literally underneath my unit. Well, I can only think of about a half a dozen issues to start with number one being sound. I assume there'll be ultra-modern sound protection because the building's a very old building. From my unit, I can hear into the garage like de rigueur. And I can hear upstairs, and they can hear me downstairs. So it's really kind of a privacy problem there, just to start with. The plumbing in the building, which especially is relevant to this add-on that I've lived in, number 8, for 35 years, it's a very complicated plumbing situation. So if they're talking about sealing that off to put a unit in there, well, then if there's any complications with the plumbing in the future, how are they going to get to that? And then another thing is that even in my apartment number 8, currently, the shower leaks. That all started as a result of after the 89 earthquake and a rebuilding of my bathroom. So unless they're planning on doing something about that, are they planning on having all this water leak into this new unit? So, but my main thing is, I didn't know anything about this until a big sign was placed in front of our building. I'm not the manager. The manager was going to come, but he's ill, so he couldn't come
okay.
today.
Thank you.
He was hoping to. And really, I'm just starting from scratch. I came here just, I didn't really plan on saying anything, but I just came for informational purposes, but, and I really don't know much about it, but if they're seriously thinking about putting another unit underneath mine, I think you've never, we just start with privacy problems, unless they have some grand plan for sealing off any kind of sound that goes back and forth, because like I reiterate, I can hear anything that goes on in the garage. I can't hear it specifically, but I can, and when there's parking underneath, so when in 8:30 in the morning when the guy comes and opens the door and puts his car in, I can hear that plain as day, 5:30 at night when he takes, that's no big deal, I just, but if somebody was actually like living underneath me, or me or whoever else is, would live in my apartment after I do, and same way with them, they, by the same token, if I can hear them, they'll be able to hear what's going on in my apartment too. So that's kind of creepy, don't you think? So anyway, those are just like off the top of my head. I mean, I could probably come up with another dozen more reasons, but I don't know much about it except this. So there you go.
Thank you very much. And so the first that you heard of this was when the notice went up on the building. And how long has the property owner owned the building?
Well, it's currently owned by a member of the bank that across the street, the First Republic Bank.
Okay.
Originally, it was this was one of the first this was the first residential building built on 8th Avenue back in the turn of the century. It was built by the guy that owned Surf Theaters. It's an historic building, but an old building that's got its personality, and one of them is that you can hear a lot. Now, my unit was built in somewhere along in the 20s.
But I was just wondering, is it a new owner to the property? Is it a new building owner that you've experienced?
No. So the Reisner family owned the property for years and years.
Okay.
Grandparent, parent, and then... But then Jack and Bill both died, so we were all worried. The people who lived in the apartment for a long time, like myself, I lived there since '84. We're worried, you know, geez, who's going to buy this? Are they going to try to shove us? The new owner sent us a letter right away and said nothing will change, everything's cool, and they've been model landlords. When I talk to friends of mine who have terrible landlords, they go, "Well, I'm one of the lucky ones." So, but all I'm saying is this was the first that. It's surprising that they never said anything to
anyone. Did the building manager know anything? I was surprised. We usually don't get public comment from the building manager asking questions about projects that are happening. So did the building manager not know about this either?
Well, no, he knew about it, but I asked him about it the other day when I said, "Are you going to go to this hearing?" And he said, "Well, yeah, maybe." And I said,
"Okay,
you're the manager of the building. Why wouldn't you?" So I just came for my own self to find out what's going on. And uncharacteristically, there hadn't been any, like, official correspondence from the landlord, which I thought odd, because they've been really
good
landlords, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that I didn't want it just to, like, pass, and then you go, okay, fine.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Without anybody saying anything.
Thank you for coming.
About a dozen possible.
We'll see if we can get more clarification for you. Is there any other public comment on this item number, we're on number 10 for 1285 8th Avenue? Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
I am sorry that the owners did not reach out to you. I was not aware of that. I assumed that they had made this known to the tenants of the building. What I can tell you is that the intention is to replace the garage with a unit. And in these situations where you're adding these units, that portion of the building does need to be fully sprinklered. And in that event, soundproofing and a double layer of sheetrock needs to be added. And the soundproofing will be much better than you have now. That should not be a worry. And also, the plumbing, I'm not part of the construction project, just, you know, the engineering portion and the permitting portion. But typically what happens in these situations is when they a plumbing and an electric permit will need to be pulled for this project. And in that event, everything needs to be tied in. So I am assuming, I know that that's not a safe thing to do, but I am assuming that all of the plumbing and the electrical will be upgraded because of the addition of these units. They will need to tie everything together. If anything needs to be moved, it would be, you know, they will have to work with PG&E to move electrical meters and gas meters. And when that happens, everything needs to be upgraded. I'm not part of the construction of this, just the engineering and the permitting, but I've been involved with many of them, and we always end up having to work with PG&E to place the new meters. You know, where are they going to be placed on the plans? So I know that that's part of the project, is everything has to be tied into the existing building. So I can't imagine that they would be adding these units and not fixing whatever plumbing or electrical is tied in. And again, this unit absolutely needs to be fully sprinklered, which would require a double layer of sheetrock and soundproofing.
And is this building part of a mandatory seismic retrofitting
yes,
program?
Yes, it is.
And that's a separate permit?
Yes.
But, okay.
So
the public comment is over, but if you just have a question about process, or I suggest that you guys discuss
sure.
after the hearing, would be great. But do you have a question about process?
Yeah, process. In other words,
This is for a variance to allow a waiver from code requirements for the addition of the units. There will be a building permit that will actually allow construction. So this, what we're approving here today, or that's what they're seeking approval today, if that is approved, then they would be able to pursue the building permit that would allow the work. But thank you for those comments. And I would, you know, I'm happy to hear that it is a good building owner who has otherwise been maintaining and taking care of the building.
I'm quite surprised you didn't notice the tenants. Yes, I did. I was not aware of that.
Because I'm quite concerned. We have had other cases where ADUs are sought. There are impacts from the ADUs, and we do. It's not a requirement of the code, but obviously, I think makes common sense. And we encourage sponsors to do the outreach to the tenants of the building to advise them of what impacts, if any, they will experience, and answer questions. It can really do a lot to ease concerns.
Okay.
So I hope that is done, and in this case, and all the tenants are fully informed.
All right. Thank you.
So we'll close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2016-007877 VAR, 235 Valencia Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Hi, I'm Craig Hamburg with DDG, project sponsor, here today to talk about 235 Valencia. It is the sixth multifamily project I've now developed in the Market Octavia plan, by far the densest. The project consists of 40 apartments averaging 490 square feet each, with 40% two and three bedroom units, zero parking, and a living alley as a community benefit. We're extremely excited about the project and feel it's an above adequate and exciting response to the current housing crisis here in San Francisco. The lot is very constrained, being a corner lot. The Greek Orthodox Church takes up the majority of the mid-block and the mid-block open space. There is a sun plane access ordinance along the Clinton Park Alley. And as a result, we've worked with staff to come up with a very dense plan, which requires our rear yard modification without compromising any of our open space requirements. All of our open space is met through common area roof decks. Here on the screen, we have three examples of code-compliant rear yards. And through working with staff on these various massing and configurations, we came to the conclusion that we sacrifice a lot of density, in many cases 12 to 15 units on a 40-unit project. And as a result, we hope that you will support staff's recommendation and grant our rear yard modification. That's all I have.
Thank you. It's my understanding the neighborhood notification was completed. Was it last week?
It was. It ran from December 20th to January 19th.
And no discretionary reviews were
filed. No discretionary reviews.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 11 for 235 Valencia. Please step forward. Please.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if it's actually appropriate because I didn't understand it was this is specifically about the variance about the yard usage. I had more question in regard to their putting in 40 units and not putting in any off-street parking, and that might not be appropriate for this. I don't know, but that was a question or a concern of mine, which I don't know the reasoning for that or, yeah, so.
Thank you. So if that's your comment, so we did have a almost decade-long neighborhood planning process that resulted in the creation of the Market Octavia plan, which the sponsor noted. And this is, I'm going to say a poster child, but it is compliant with the requirements of that plan, which did seek a reduction in parking. And actually, there is no parking requirement, so they're not needing any exceptions to not provide parking. So it's the vision of the plan and that they are implementing with that level of parking with no parking.
So. Okay, so that's somehow, I don't understand the reasoning behind it, but somehow reducing in building parking is considered a goal or a positive thing somehow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's been the direction of the city for the past decade.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Is there any other public comment on this item number 11 for 235 Valencia? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested modifications, do you find that they
Stosia, are... Stosia, you're not going to give him a rebuttal, three-minute rebuttal?
Would you like a rebuttal? Close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification, does meet the findings necessary for the rear yard modification, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2015-018474VAR, 982 Green Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Mr. Sanchez, my name is Alice Barkley, representing the project sponsor. This case has a very complicated history, and we had provided you with a very comprehensive package. So if you have any question, I'd be more than happy to answer. The only thing I'd like to add is that as far as the front yard variance for the garage, first of all, the front setback is more than 30 feet, and I do have a copy of a approval by Planning Department stating that back in 1975, the department actually approved a two carport in the front yard location. If you would like to have a copy, I'd be happy to provide you with one.
Oh, if you could make sure the staff has that.
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you. And
so unless you have any question.
I think I'll move on to public comment and see if there's any public comment first. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're on item number 12 for 982 Green Street. Is there any public comment on item 12 for 982 Green Street? Seeing none, we'd close public comment, close the public hearing. This has been a long-standing enforcement matter for several years now. It has been very frustrating for our staff. We've been given, I think, pretty consistent direction to the sponsor. They exceeded scope of permits, did work without permit, possibly misrepresenting things on plans. That ultimately led to what there is today and the enforcement action. It took our staff taking this or seeking to take this as a staff-initiated discretionary review to the Planning Commission to deny what they are proposing to get revisions necessary to allow our approval. And so what is before us now is a project that has been revised from what is there today to reflect the direction of our preservation staff. I'd like to thank Ms. Barkley. It really wasn't until she became involved in this matter that we got any traction with the property owner and got resolution of this. So thank you for your involvement, because it has brought about a swift change in the project and getting it to the point where we can approve it. Of course, you know, through the process, we will assess all the time and materials that were spent for the enforcement, which I assume will be substantial. On any permit to correct the violation. So with that, close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variances as they are being sought now to legalize and make changes to the existing unpermitted work on the property, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 13 was already heard early part of our hearing, so now we're moving to item number 14. Case number 2017-009891 VAR. 3880 to 3882 19th Street, rear yard variance sought. Sir, you have 5 minutes.
Aren't we 14? Oh, I'm sorry.
Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Hello, everyone. My name is Vin. I'm with EAG Studio. The subject property is flying by retaining walls, which, when they were constructed, enable the surrounding properties to achieve flatter and more usable yards. We are asking for nothing more by this variance. Our proposed yard would continue to be lower than all the other yards around. The current topography in the subject's yard appears mostly man-made, since it was excavated into steep terraces, presumably when the house was moved from another location to this site sometime in the middle of the last century. As a result of this exceptional condition, existing only in the subject's property's rear yard, the artificial topography doesn't allow the current owners to enjoy the mid-block open space like the other homes around. The front of the yard is currently in a pit, and it is surrounded on both sides by much taller grades. In the rear, there's a sharp cliff. We believe that making the topography more even will significantly reduce the risk of erosion and landslides. As it stands now, the dirt from the yard of one of the west neighbors is currently eroding into the subject's yard. And while one of the north neighbor built a tall concrete wall retaining a portion of our grade in the back of the lot, two-thirds of our rear yard continues to be directly adjacent to an extremely sharp cliff where erosion currently occurs, leaving a potential risk of landslide as a possibility as well. Leveling the yard and giving it a more conventional perimeter would make it safer for the subject as well as the surrounding. Granting the variance will have no adverse effect on the neighborhood character and will allow the subject property to be designed in a similar way to the other homes on the block. This was recognized by several of our neighbors, all directly adjacent, who accepted to provide written support for the proposed variance. We sought to understand the neighbors' respective concern and came to an agreement that stands to benefit everyone. Receiving the variance protects the neighbors in a way that the status quo does not anymore. Should the variance be granted, the agreement is designed in a way that it protects our mutual interests. We have received letters of support for this variance from all three of our adjacent western neighbors. In return, we made concessions that also stand to alleviate potential future concerns, most of which have to do with protecting everyone's views. The vantage of the city, it should be said, is particularly interesting on this block. Reaching a compromise protects everyone, including the subject's property's own best interests. Overall, we have received 7 letters of support from directly adjacent neighbors all around. We believe the request meets all required findings and that they're not asking, and that we're not asking for anything exceptional. The owners currently have a rather unusable yard with steep terraces. They are hoping to make it a flatter yard for kids and adults alike to enjoy. We expect that granting this variance will enable them to restore conditions that are similar to that of neighboring properties and benefit surrounding lots as well in terms of increased safety, open space, privacy, and views.
Thank you. On my initial review of this, I was very concerned and maybe skeptical about the proposal, but I appreciate the additional information that you provided in the form of the survey points to demonstrate the elevation of the adjacent properties, and that was helpful for my understanding of the project. I also do appreciate the work that you've done to proactively discuss this with neighbors and hear their concerns. My understanding, as you stated, you do have a private agreement with them as to how, you know, kind of the property will be maintained. Could you describe that? I mean, those are not conditions that the city is mandating or enforcing, but it's the agreement between your client and the neighbors. Could you just kind of detail what those are?
Sure. It has really everything to do with protecting the views. The rear of the yard is not any higher. In fact, it is higher right now than it will be if the variance was granted, because we're lowering it a little bit in the back, but raising it in the front. And because there's been accidents in the neighborhood and bad experiences, the neighbors were very interested in making sure that their views would not be obstructed should we plant things that we are not unable to plant now. But I think it's understandable that they sought to take advantage of this variance to make sure that we didn't go very high with any plantings nor structure.
A redwood forest back there.
Right, exactly. That would just, you know, really affect us and but them as well. And then we also introduced a privacy strip to make sure that one cannot walk too close to that other neighbor on the north that has a retaining wall. Should we walk next to it, we would be looking down on them. So we also granted this privacy strip.
Thank you very much. And let's see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item 14 for 3880 to 82 19th Street. Any public comment? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Fred Bullock. I live at 577 Sanchez Street, which abuts the property. When we first heard about the variance request, we were actually very concerned. Primarily due to potential loss of inner block open space. And secondly, because if the variance is granted and the lot elevation is increased, potentially a future planning request could result in increase in massing or height of the building, which we didn't want. So we worked with our neighbors and we came up with an agreement subject to the variance being approved. There's really 3 points to the agreement, and we would like reference to the agreement to be part of the variance approval. So Vin mentions 2 of the agreements. The first one is the height of vegetation, and any structures would be limited to a certain height. The second part of the agreement is that any fences would not be higher than existing neighbor fences. And the third thing would be that the current lot elevations are used versus any future artificially raised elevations for any future changes to the building. So if the current owners wanted to add another story, for example, based on having a new higher elevation, that would not be allowed under our agreement.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item number 14 for 3880 to 3882 19th Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you would like to use that time, or I don't know if you feel it's necessary or not. But.
Just, I
I'll just say that we've agreed to those conditions, and I understand that we've received the support in the form of a letter from all those folks.
Thank you. We'll close the public hearing. I'm inclined to grant the requested variance. I do appreciate that the sponsor and the neighbors have worked together and do have a private agreement. While we will not reference it as conditions of approval for our approval, we will reference the fact that there is an agreement in the decision. We will note that there has been an agreement reached, but it will not be terms that are enforceable by the city. We have processes in the planning code for dealing with projects, and we don't have any regulations on the height of vegetation. You know, any further development will be subject to planning code requirements, including neighborhood notification, possibly variance, depending on what is being sought. But you know, we do appreciate that you recognize that you do have that private agreement in place, and we'll at least note that in our decision letter that one does exist between the parties, although not enforceable by the city. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, we will note the work of the parties here and move on to the next item.
Case number 15, case number 2017-009193 VAR, 1401 Mason Street, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. Can you? Can I use the computer? I have. Andrea Gomez on behalf of W. Charles Perry and Associates for building owner Joanne Yitin. This is a variance for horizontal exposure under Section 140, all dwelling units in all use districts to face on an open area. We are seeking a variance to create a new accessory dwelling unit in a three-story residential building located at 1401 Mason Street. This building contains 8 units. The space being developed is a vacant ground level area initiated as part of a mandatory seismic retrofit. This new ADU will be a single bedroom unit with kitchen and living area combination, which is subject to existing conditions at the back of a basement facing the rear yard of a building. This new ADU will not extend beyond the existing building envelope. The distance from the rear wall of the property to the existing adjacent property is 10 feet. The minimum required distance is 15 feet. We are requesting a variance from the required 15 feet to the existing 10 feet. The rear yard patio of this new ADU is 10 feet by 30 feet. We have 300 square feet of open area. The typical San Francisco patio rear yard is 15 feet by 25 feet, 375 square feet. The proposal will improve the use of an existing, an attractive vacant space by creating a new green environment, non-existing on the subject property, which is currently a concrete wall and a concrete slab being used as a parking space. As you see the pictures, the existing and proposed. This new ADU will enhance the quality of the existing common open space by adding a new vertical green wall and a new green fence at the rear yard of the building. This new green open space will be easily accessible for all residential units. this new ADU will integrate the interior of the ADU with the outside of a building and surrounding areas, with the addition of two glazed doors and this new green space, improving the access of natural light, air circulation, and green views for the subject property and the adjacent properties as well. We are not just adding one more unit. We are creating a new environmentally friendly space for the property and also the neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was a very thorough and persuasive presentation. I appreciate that. I mean, my initial concern in this was the possible privatization of that space, the backyard space, primarily through the addition of the gate. But it's my understanding too from communications we received that the gate would not be lockable as to comply with building department requirements. And I think your presentation too does show very clearly it's a significant improvement over the existing condition. So I thank you for that. And we'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
Any public comment on item 15 for 1401 Mason Street? Seeing no public testimony, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. We may add a condition just reaffirming that the gate remain not lockable.
Open.
And that's my understanding that will not in any way violate building code requirements and only reinforce that. So thank you very much and move
thank
on to
you.
The next item.
Thank you very thank much. You.
Moving to the last item of our calendar, item number 16, case number 2014-1060 VAR, 1870 Market Street, rear yard modification and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
I don't know how to do it. Oh, thank you. My name is David Sternberg, Sternberg Benjamin Architects. Sorry for before jumping the gun. As you may know, this was subject to a discretionary review hearing, and there was a miscommunication on the previous notice. The variance could have and perhaps should have happened at the DR hearing, but now we're back to the official variance hearing. I don't know if anybody, I believe nobody is here in opposition to the variance. Quite frankly, if you have any questions, I'm not going to say any more. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your patience as well. I think we had this calendared for variance some time ago. We had discretionary review. We had a hearing on that. I think we actually had two 312 notices because of errors in the 312 notification. Planning Commission took action on this, not taking discretionary review and approving the project as proposed, contingent upon this rear yard modification and exposure variance. And I will see if there's any public comment. Item 16, 1870 Market Street. Seeing no public comment, I would close public hearing and inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and exposure variance. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And that is all for today. We
for
have
today.
General public comment. If there's any general public comment, and I'm seeing no public here to do general public comment, we will close this hearing. We will reconvene at the next regular hearing on February 28th, 2018. Thank you very much. Bye. Ours is one to close.